On the one hand, I love the enthusiasm and I want them to be thinking about new things. I want to encourage them. On the other hand, I see 400 problems or 400 things they didn't think through with that idea, right?
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
All right. So here's what we want to talk about today, Heaton. I want to talk about being cynical in a startup or cynicism in startups and entrepreneurship. Basically, the concept that I've witnessed with others and myself, which is that when I started in entrepreneurship and in business, I had this beautiful level of ignorance, right? I didn't know how hard things would be. I didn't know what was not possible. So I would jump into things that were incredibly hard with like a vigor and a joy and a sense for what's possible. That's really like magical. At the same time, I had no clue what I was doing. I was super, my skill set was really bad and obviously I didn't have enough experience. So I would make a ton of mistakes. And many of these mistakes would be mistakes that were avoidable or mistakes that other people had done before. So you have this like beauty of when you start, you have this ignorance, but you also kind of have a lack of skills. And then as you gain more experience, as you learn more, as you build up your skill set, your knowledge, your experience, and you become wiser as an entrepreneur, as a business person, your skill set is stronger. So you know what's possible. Now you're better at like scoping things. You're better being quote unquote realistic. But then also you lose some of the magic of ignorance and you become a little bit too driven by, you know, your history and your past experiences. And what I've witnessed with other entrepreneurs, a lot of times, the longer they're in business, the more cynical they get. And not just with others. I witnessed this with myself of just becoming more cynical in looking at somebody when they're, you know, super ignorant and super passionate about something and seeing that they haven't thought it through and seeing all the holes and all the problems with the ideas and just being hypercritical about it, maybe slightly cynical. So I'm struggling with this balance of keeping a healthy level of ignorance while still like utilizing the knowledge and experience that I have. And I'm wondering how you think about this. And I'll start and I'll tell you why I want to talk about this with you is because I also sense it's a weird thing with you because I sense both a healthy level of cynicism and being like cynical and critical of the startup scene and other businesses and what people are doing in you. And at the same time, I sense this beautiful, like believing in people and their ideas and being okay with wherever they are in their journey and helping them at that stage and not being like hypercritical that they are not further along in their journey. So I see this duality in you that I find interesting. And I want to just talk about this topic because it's something I'm struggling with and something that I haven't found a good place yet within myself. So how do you think about that? What's your first response to what I just said?
Yeah. So every time I hear a word that, you know, I think I know what it means, but I can't exactly describe what it means without using other words and other like things that are maybe complicated. I just go to Google and I type in the word. So I just typed in the word. I found cynical is the word I typed in. And I find myself at the dictionary, dictionary.reference.com. I guess it's dictionary.com, but they did some weird stuff. Anyways, so the definition of cynical is there's four of them. They say, three of them, yeah. And they say it's an adjective. So it's distrusting or disparaging the motives of others, like or characteristic of a cynic. So we'll go look up a cynic in a second. But showing contempt for accepted standards of honesty or morality by one's actions, especially by actions that exploit the scruples of others. Then three is bitterly or sneeringly distrustful, contemptuous, or pessimistic. And then I'm going to look up cynic. So that was cynical.
Wait. Yeah, I type cynical synonym in Google, it gives me kind of a few bullet points. But the one that I find describing what I meant or what I mean is not the, you know, disbelieving in the motives and self-interest in people and all that distrust stuff, but the doubtful as to whether something will happen or whether it is worthwhile or achievable. Like that's a definition that I found in Google. And that kind of fits what I try to describe here.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. Okay, good. Perfect. So I'm gonna skip looking up cynics, but this is what I do all the time because I'm like, all right, let's get on some common ground about what we're talking about here, right?
Yeah, I love that.
So that's great. All right, so we found some common ground around like what you're referring to. I guess I think of it as not even – well, one, I see what you're saying a lot as well. I think part of it is just human nature. It's kind of like you have one data point, which is you and your life more than anything else. And more importantly, you are a data point. It's your own mind and your own perspective on things. And what happens is like if you are successful, then you might – you know, some people might end up thinking – and I honestly think this has a lot to do with someone's personality, and they can also obviously change or tweak it. But if you get successful, you end up – you know, some people end up honestly looking down on people that are not successful. Honestly, they just look down on them. Like, and it's because, hey, how come you're not here yet? Right? That's one approach. Another is, hey, I'm better than you. But again, it all depends on someone's personality. And I think a lot of the thing you're talking about comes out of somebody's personal viewpoint on like how they view other people compared to themselves. Cause you know, whether we like it or not, like inherently we're always comparing ourselves to other people, even though everybody tells you try not to do it. Blah blah blah. The comparison of you and another is very strong, right? And it comes out in positive and negative ways as well. I guess the way I would say this is like instead of worrying about like other people, I like to just worry about myself. So the way I try to balance this is like I think there's a level of healthiness around being cynical, and I don't know if the word is cynical or just being critical.
Critical.
So
yeah.
So I'd probably call it critical. So I think. I wouldn't call myself cynical about things, although when I speak, it might come across that way. But in my specific case, if you think I'm being cynical, it's likely I'm being critical and trying to be funny. So I'm actually more on the sarcastic spectrum. And the reason I'm usually trying to do that is I've spent a lot of time trying to help people get to where they want to go, especially entrepreneurs, founders, people working in these companies, in these startups. And I try to find myself just like thinking about what being really critical of what they're doing so that I can actually offer help. So I think a lot of it has to do with your purpose. And your purpose comes out pretty fast when you're talking, especially if you're cynical or if you're not and why you are. So just try to think to yourself, if you're being cynical about something, why is that? Like what is it? It's actually a great feeling, a great feeling or a great moment to actually think about why you're doing that. And I think that you can tune it, right? And come to your own conclusions because there's good reasons to be cynical. So for me, like when I'm cynical, I'm usually just trying to understand something and I think I have a viewpoint. And so I'm expressing my viewpoint. And if it comes across as cynical, it's just simply because I'm trying to get a point across, right? But at the end of the day, I think people are not critical enough. People don't think about like what's really bad or what's wrong with this thing. And that leads us to, you know, do what some people call grin fucking and just smile at each other all day and go, hey, everything's awesome. Yeah, I'm doing great.
You know, wait.
Talking about what's
going
on.
Wait, let me stop you. Grin fucking?
Yeah, you didn't know about that term?
I've never heard that term before. Oh, yeah. Wow, that's so awesome. That does describe something really sick that I hate very well. So, all right, grin fucking. All right.
So I think there's a healthy level of being critical that allows you to not grin fuck people and sit there and just accept what they're saying and not actually try to help them. And I think you have to be critical to help them. So there's this, so I think there's two layers of this. There's one, like there's a healthy way to treat your cynicism and turn it into something productive. And that's kind of what I'm describing. Then there's the other side of it, which is like, just if you are the one being cynical or critical, go get a little introspective. Try to understand why. Usually it has something to do with something you experience. Like for me, if I'm hypersensitive to so many things because of my own experience. And that leads me to be cynical, right? Like I've had certain types of experiences with investors, certain types of experiences with business partners. You know, I've been in lawsuits with them and had to go to mediation with a business partner a while ago. And like things happen, right? And I think that turns you into like thinking you know about certain scenarios and you can see a pattern and you know it leads to some outcome and that I think that turns you to be cynical about other people and their ideas and their things. It's just your own bias. So really all these things are tactics to sort of fight that normal human urge. And instead of fighting it, I would say lean into it, go into it and try to use it for good. Because we're all going to be cynical. We all are like comparing ourselves to other people. That's my conclusion, at least. That's the way I think about it, I think what you're talking about.
All right. So let me give you a concrete example, right? So we have some junior new people joining the team. You know, they work with us for a little while. And then one person might have like this big idea they want to pitch me. And they pitch me that idea of what we should do or some strategy or something we should try out. And on the one hand, I love the enthusiasm and I want them to be thinking about new things. I want to encourage them. On the other hand, I see 400 problems or 400 things they didn't think through with that idea, right? What do we do about this? Have you thought about what happens when X, Y, and Z happens? Like, just I can see, like, a lot of times when you're inexperienced, you the vision, your vision and your view is maybe not as far reaching. You can maybe just look a few feet ahead versus seeing hundreds of feet ahead. So what happens sometimes for me is that I'll be like, that's an awesome idea, and then I'll throw all the questions I have. How about this? How about this? Have you thought about this? What would you do with this if this happens? And I basically uncover all the weak spots of that idea, and that can be incredibly discouraging. And you know, for one point, which could just be people have to be able to take that, because when I pitch my ideas and people criticize it or they're very harsh with it, I like it. I mean, I might not enjoy it, but I need that kind of like hard training to get better at what I do. But at the same time, I can see that sometimes very inexperienced people can be crushed and then like taking away the inspiration and motivation they had when it's exposed how much they don't know about what they want to get themselves into. So I'm struggling between telling people exactly what I think, which might be too critical at a too early point, destroying kind of the magic of the moment, and not saying what I really think and doing the grin fucking in a maybe slightly lesser version of just going, that's a cool idea, maybe you should think about this one thing, but go and try to learn more about it. And I already know all the problems that probably are going to come up down the line, but I don't want to bring it up. And both of these things don't seem perfect. Like, what's your framework when somebody junior comes to you and they pitch you an idea where you think there are some problems with it? How do you not kill that enthusiasm, that initiative, that inspiration, but still be honest and frank with them? Like, how do you keep that balance?
Yeah. So I don't think you can treat this as like a one-size-fits-all solution.
Right.
Right? So let me break it out. So one is somebody coming to you, even junior or not, but somebody coming to you, highly motivated individual in your company, coming to you with an idea that you actually don't really agree with, is basically what this boils down to, right?
Yeah.
So if they're coming to you with an idea, sometimes it's an idea. There's two kinds, I think. There's one related to things that the company should not be working on right now, and there's ones related to the things the company should be working on right now. So I'd first split it and say, pick, you know, which one is this? Because if it's something where the company, it's not related to the company goals or like what the company's trying to accomplish right now, then it's relatively easy in my mind to tell them, hey, that's a good idea, potentially. And I'd use that. I wouldn't say it's an awesome idea. I'd actually make sure that I'm very as clear as possible without being, you know, mean as to what I really think about the idea. So I wouldn't actually call it awesome if I really didn't believe it was awesome. That's the first thing I do. But in this scenario, if it's idea not related to what the company's focused on right now, then I think it's pretty easy to tell them, hey, this is just not a current focus. Right? It might be a focus at this time, or here's why that's not the right thing to focus on. How about working on things that are going to help with this? Do you have any ideas there? Right? Or it'd be great if you thought about ideas there, because that's what really we need to do for these reasons or whatever. But I think that also goes back to the culture of the company and how the company operates, right? Because there's some companies that are actually like the second category of this, the way I see it, which is you can work on whatever you want. Right. And in that scenario, it's like if someone brings you an idea, it generally has something to do with something they need to work on right now, or because the company culture is such a way that they can pick anything they want, it might have to do with nothing. But are they really asking for permission? Are they trying to share the idea with you? Are they trying to get resources for it? Those are all the things that come to mind if you really need to seriously entertain it for some reason, like, you know, your company's trying to improve that. And from there, it's like, I don't know. I have a lot of practice doing this. This is one of the reasons I love talking to entrepreneurs and founders all the time. It just helps me think through how to help really, really motivated people, really determined people with their own ideas, you know, guide them, help them think about it. So to me, it's just breaking it down and breaking it down logically instead of just spewing questions at the person. Like, I try to really think about, okay, so they'll say it, and then I'll repeat back to them. Okay, so let me just repeat this so that you can understand, and I can understand if I actually understand what you're saying in the way that you are. And then I just repeat it. But I repeat it in a very simple way. I try to boil it down in its simple sort of components. Like, you know, if we do this, X will happen or something like that. And then I just use logic to try to help explain how I understand it. Because, you know, part of it is, and this is related to an Einstein quote, I think. It's something like, if you can't explain it simply, you don't really understand it. or something like that. And I really believe in that. And so I think it's your job to actually get right about what they're saying and what the basics of it are. What are the foundational elements? Because from there, you can easily explain to someone why it's actually not a good idea right now in a way that makes them understand and not be all like, you know, sort of hurt because you turned down their idea.
All right, so let's switch scripts here a little bit and talk less about like how to coach and teach and respond and give feedback to others. But let's talk about ourselves, right? So you're just in the process of launching and starting a new product and a new business, basically. But you are an insanely experienced founder. So how do you feel any difference starting this business versus the very first time you started? Maybe it was the consulting business you guys started, the very first product you launched. Is there a difference in your enthusiasm, in your energy, in your motivation, in your like, just like the amount of joy you have at creating it and believing all it could be? Do you feel like you have the same sense of that? Or do you feel like you're more reserved, you're more critical, you're more analytical, and maybe a little bit like, what's the difference between you starting today versus back then? And do you see any difference in the sense of like the way you approach things?
It's a great question. This company has been started maybe sometime this year. So let's say 4 or 5 months ago. I lose track of those dates. We never celebrate those dates in any of my companies. I'm really weird about that, but I know a lot of other people do. I should probably figure out the date. But anyways, I've asked myself this question probably once a week for like the last 20 weeks in its own form, and sometimes it's different. And I think the conclusion I've come to for me is that compared to the first thing I ever started or the first thing I started on the internet or whatever, this experience is one major thing that I didn't really think about before was the value of the people. The early people and how, you know, they can either be a pain in the ass and slow you down or just make everything so easy. And so in this situation that I'm in right now with this company, it's like, it's just so easy. Like it's so easy in comparison because every single person is just works well together and knows each other. And it's just a whole different thing. Like I've never experienced anything like this fast where it's like, I'm not worried about all these things that normally I'd be really, really, really worried about. Part of it is experience. Part of it is shared learnings we've all had together, right? And an instant understanding. So when someone says something, there's just a speed of the other person understanding it being a lot faster because of shared experiences and a natural sort of understanding of how each other thinks about things. And also probably a high level of trust and respect. So that's been a really key learning. But when you talk about like, how are things different besides something like that? Because, you know, I always go back to people, but that was still kind of about other people in a way. But the one pattern I saw is we course correct faster. We're always wrong, obviously, but we just course correct way faster. Whether it's because we have better processes in place to not really assume things that are not true, have more hypotheses around things, or it's just something where like we're always just like honestly afraid of making the same mistake again the wrong way. And at the same time, using that in a healthy way to make new mistakes. So I think course correction, like the way we're thinking about our business, the way we're evolving it, it's at a different pace. So I think this will be this has a potential just by the early days that I'm seeing right now to be a much larger business than any of the other ones I started.
That's awesome to hear. Do you feel the same? Like, let's come back to the core or the essence of the question, which is, are you as excited, as passionate, as dreamy, as like in love with it as you used to be? Or are you a little bit more like, I'm dating this and I'm into this and this could be really good, but I'm like holding back a little bit on the emotions. I'm not like madly falling in love with every new thing because I've now been in a number of relationships, taking that metaphor for start for your businesses. What's your internal world like today that you're a more experienced founder? Is it similar, same, or totally different?
I don't think of it as my baby. I don't have the same attachment to it. That's actually helping me think about it a lot better. I never thought of my companies as my babies or anything, but like I'd hear that from other people and I'd be like, oh, that kind of makes sense. Now I know it makes no sense at all if you want to be really successful. It's not your baby. You don't have even your own kid, you don't have an attachment to. So what I would say is like, I don't treat it like that. And thus I know I can shape it. I know I can think about it. I know. And I also have babies now. And so I think they're a whole different beast than a company. I don't understand why people say that analogy. It really doesn't make any damn sense.
You know what? We should do an episode at some point about like attachment and business, because that's a big topic. That's a good topic.
I like that one.
All right, my man. Yeah. We're doing tips. You're going first.
I'm going first.
Yeah, well, I'm listening to our episodes, and you're always smart because you're the guy that keeps track of the time. You're always in full power in pushing either me to go first or you want to go first. So today I thought I'll switch it up.
Oh, hey, I like that. You're keeping me on my toes. my tip is like if you and I might have given something similar before, but I really believe this. But like if you feel a certain way and it's bad, like, you know, and you're stuck on it, like even for like a few minutes or something, like just think to yourself of what is the origin of this thing I'm thinking. So if you think an idea is bad, just think first internally, why do I think this idea is bad? Like truly, like what's causing me to feel this way? And I think if you do that, you'll generally have a much more productive, hopefully life, but like a way to think about things, especially when you hear them from other people and have to react.
Awesome. Here's my tip. If you talk and interact with other people, try to find what connects you with them versus what separates you from them. There's a quote that I read sometimes, like, go out in the world and try to find the things that connect you with others versus the things that separate you from them. And I find that once in a while when I read that quote, I find that a good reminder for looking at the world from that viewpoint and trying to find what connects me and what unites me and what is similar and same between me and somebody to be able to get to a different level of empathy versus just seeing where they're different from me or where they differ from me. Yeah. So try to see more similarities and try to find more common ground in people. It's going to be much easier for you then to be empathetic, give good feedback, communicate effectively and be more understanding, more loving and just a better human being. All right. That's a wrap for today's episode. Make sure to go to thestartupchat.com. Get on the email list. We're going to start sending out exclusive episodes to people that are just on our email list that we're not going to be publishing.
Which really means ones that we're too embarrassed to share on iTunes.
Exactly. And then, so these are maybe the best ones, who knows. And then secondly, join our Facebook group. So if you go to thestartupchat.com/FB for Facebook, FB, join that group. It's an exclusive group only for you guys. And in that group, you can share your problems. We can keep each other accountable. You can ask us questions or tell us what to talk about. Make sure to join the conversation, join the community, and let us know what's up. We'd love to hear from you.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Did you pick one of the two action items from Stelly and Heaton already? Do that now and snap into action. It's time to grow your business.